Prabhupada, Bhashyala Prabhupada. In his former body, which was transcendental, affection for sex life was forbidden, and Brahma therefore had to accept another body to allow himself to be connected with sex. He thus engaged himself in the matter of creation. His former body was transformed into fog, as previously described. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Chakshur Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachyade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's not an easy subject matter to talk or discuss. Anybody want to swap places? So I ask for your blessings, so I can say a few words that might help us and especially purify me. Vancha kalpa tribhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha Patito nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So, carrying on the saga of Lord Brahma, Brahma being the first living being within the universe, and it is explained that when he appeared, he didn't have a material body, he had a transcendental body. So why would Lord Brahma have a transcendental body? Anyone, any idea? Not you, Eddie Guru. Well, go on. That's right, because he came from Lord Vishnu. Because his birth was not like an ordinary kind of entities. If we want to give procreation or give birth, then we have to engage in some bodily kind of sex life. But when Narayan, when he gives birth, then Lord Brahma, as we know, he came from the stem, and his body was 100% transcendental. And it said it wasn't made from any kind of gross elements. It was made from subtle beings, subtle elements. And in that kind of form, that's when he received vision of the creation, and then he also received the Gayatri Mantra. Those were Brahmins, they chant the Gayatri Mantra, and that was the mantra that was received to Lord Brahma by Vishnu. And then when he had this vision of the creation, he had the realization that he had to perform creation, and that was his duty, that was his seva. So the body that he had was not fit for procreation or creating. If you think about it, the spiritual body doesn't need to procreate. In the spiritual world, there's no sex life. Living entities are already there here in the material world. If you want the population to carry on, then we have to engage in those activities. But in the spiritual world, those things are not needed or necessary. So then, if the body that we have, which is transcendental, can't procreate, then what's the solution? What's the solution? Yes? That's right. We have to get another body. We have to get a material body. So therefore, Brahma had to give up his spiritual body, because for him, His main concern was to do his savor and to give himself into that understanding that although he had the transcendental body, it was more important for him to do his savor. So then it's explained that the body, he willingly gave it up because he saw that the savor was a higher principle than having that transcendental body. So it's an interesting kind of a situation. He had this transcendental body, but then he gave that transcendental body up. We see in a situation, in another pastime of Narada Muni, he had a reverse situation. Anyone remember that pastime? Eddie? What is it? That's right. So changing bodies is nothing new to us. In fact, we ourselves are constantly changing bodies ourselves. Our original form is Satchitananda. It's a transcendental form, as was Brahma's. But then because of our misuse of our independence, or because of our wanting to be the lord of our own kind of life, then that position that we can't keep in the spiritual world, so therefore then this material world is where we come in contact, and then we get these gross bodies that we allow to interact in different ways. So it's interesting here, it says that Brahma, when he gave up his body, which was subtle body, what did that body become? Fog. And if you look into the Puranas, it's explained that that fog is actually still there in the material world. Particularly in England, we get a lot of fog in the winter. So it is explained that that is the fog that dissipates, that is Brahma's body, that when he gave it up. Sometimes when the demigods, they perform an act which is immoral, they have to give up that body, or they have to pass their kind of sinful act to the earthly realm. Does anyone have any idea of such kind of... This is a number one student over here. Let's give someone else a try. Please, sir, can I have some more? Yeah, go on. Indra, that's right. So Indra, he committed the immoral act. What did Indra do? Any idea? Did he have a bit more gulab jams than he was supposed to have? Ladies, what did Indra do? Not quite. He did do that quite often. That's not his own guru. He killed Twasta. Twasta had three heads. Indra was losing a battle because he had offended his guru. Generally, we always offer respects to our guru three times a day. And then Indra was in his kind of high position and he was enjoying life. And then his guru came. So then when the guru comes, then we have to offer respects. And then, of course, he didn't offer his respect to his guru, who is... That's right. And then if you disregard the guru, don't show any respects, then misfortune comes upon you. And of course, guru left, and then everything went wrong. And then the demigods were in a weak position because they didn't have the blessings of the guru, who was upset. So then the demons took advantage of the situation, and they went and they attacked the heavenly planet, Svaloka, and then Indra, being in a weak situation, he lost. And then he went, interestingly enough, he went for help, because of course his guru was upset, he went to get help from the demons. And then the demons had Sukracharya as the guru, but they also had other kind of priests. And Twasta was one of them. And then he had three heads. So Indra asked him, please, can you help me? You know, we are in a kind of a suffering situation, please help us. And of course, being a Brahmin, even though he was on the demon side, he agreed to help Indra. So then they performed different yajnas, fire sacrifices, and then offering oblations. And in this way, Indra was becoming stronger and more powerful. However, it is explained that because he still had affection for the asuras, he was also offering silently oblations into the fire. So on one sense, he was offering Om Indraya Swaha. And on the other side, he was offering Om Dimanaya Swaha. Obeisances or oblations into the fire. And then Indra noticed that. And of course, Indra didn't like that. So then he cut off Twasta's three heads. From the description, it's explained his three heads became three birds. So if you see these three birds, apparently, these are the heads of Twasta. A partridge on a pear tree. A partridge bird, a sparrow, and I think it was a hawk. Those are the three birds that became the heads of Twasta. Anyway, so then because of this sin, then Indra had to undergo some austerities. And because the sin of killing a Brahmin is so heavy, not recommended, then he had to distribute his sin on the earth three realms. So, apart from Adiguru, what were the four ways? As Brahma became a fog, then how did the sin of Indra get distributed? We'll start off with the ladies. Any ladies? I know we have some Shastri ladies over here. Foam in the water. So maybe some of you went to Brighton. Who went to Brighton? So maybe you saw some foam in the sea. So that was also one of the way the sin was distributed. Another one? Yes? Panchatattva. That's right. So sometimes when we see a tree, that when we cut it, then the sap that comes from it, then that's also where sin kind of resides. So generally it's recommended not to take that sap. Yeah, maple syrup. Yeah, that's a good question. All right. Who likes maple syrup in the pancakes? Okay, anyway, I leave that to you. And then, so what's the third one? The land? Yeah, that's right. So if anyone's been to Sahara Desert, anyone been to Sahara Desert? You travel a lot, don't you? Have you been to Sahara Desert? So I was in Sahara Desert. It's barren land. There's no rain. The only thing that lives there is scorpions and Jai Krishnas. So the desert, the barren land that lives there, that's one of the ways that the sin was taken. And the other one? Yeah, so when the women go the unfortunate situation every month, that's another way. So in this way, the different kinds of sin of the Indra was distributed. So Brahma, he saw that his seva was most important. So he gave up his transcendental body and he gave it up willingly. It is explained that this word upadaya means that he gave it up willingly. So when you have a transcendental body, you can't engage in sex life. It's not because sex life generally is meant for just pleasing our own senses, for our own personal sense gratification. But in the spiritual world, when we have transcendental bodies, it is there to satisfy the pleasure of the Lord, Krishna. That is the sole purpose in the spiritual world. However, in this particular situation, because Brahma, his main purpose was to create, he had to accept another body. In fact, Brahma accepts different types of bodies throughout the different pastimes he takes. This is not the only time he changed his body. His body is very, very subtle. So not all beings can see Brahma's body. When Hiranyakashipu was performing his austerities, when Brahma came, because Brahma had such a subtle body with the gross body that Hiranyakashipu, he could not see Brahma. So therefore, Brahma had to take another form so that Hiranyakashipu could actually see Brahma in that particular form and give the benedictions. So, how can we relate this in our own life, in our own spiritual journey, in our own Krishna consciousness? So when Srila Prabhupada, we just celebrated a few days ago, Srila Prabhupada put his transcendental lotus feet in Boston Harbor. And then 60 years ago, this happened. So what was the savor given to Srila Prabhupada? That's right, 1922, when Bhaktisiddhanta was giving a talk. I don't know if some of you have been to Calcutta. Ulta Danga. That's the first Gaudiya Math temple. And that's also the first place where Srila Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. You can go there. It's a nice rooftop over there. You can go to Bhaktisiddhanta's room. All his personal paraphernalia is there, his bed. And from his room, his doorway goes straight into the rooftop. There's a nice murti of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And then you can actually go the same staircase that led Prabhupada and his friend Narendra up into the rooftop. If you go to Calcutta, it's worth visiting. Now Calcutta, before I would avoid Calcutta like a plague. It's not the greatest place to visit. But now there's more transcendental places sprouted up in Calcutta. You've got Srila Prabhupada's birthplace in Harrison Road. We visited that place. You can go to the jackfruit tree where Srila Prabhupada appeared. You can give it a nice embrace. You can give it a nice hug. They're building a nice temple over there. You can also go to Bug Bazaar. What's Bug Bazaar famous for? Anyone knows? Boom, boom, boom. Gaudiya Math, that's right. That's where Bhaktisiddhanta's temple was. And then that's where also Bhaktisiddhanta, he passed away. Then, of course, we got our own temple in Albert Street, where Srila Prabhupada spent a lot of his time. You can go to his rooms. And then you can go to the harbor where Srila Prabhupada left from Calcutta. He came to the west. So Srila Prabhupada's seva by Bhaktisiddhanta was to preach Krishna consciousness to the Western world. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, then this is also intricate in our own progression, in our own advancement in giving, doing seva. When I first came to Bhaktivedanta Manor way back in 75, my first seva, any ideas? Anyone know what my first seva was? Washing pots? No, I was just a little kid at that time, couldn't even reach the big pots. Gardening. So the devotees engaged me and my brothers were doing gardening. So there's different ways we can do seva. There's the nine process of devotional service, Sharvanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So Brahma also, his first seva, he was also hearing or remembering the instructions that was given to him. So that's also a way we can also advance in our Krishna consciousness by doing our seva. So it explains that Prabhupada, he said it took him a long time for him to formulate how to do his seva, how to go about in the West. He said that he left it to the end of his life, but somehow or another, even though he left it, he was always constantly thinking about how to do this seva. So in our Krishna consciousness, what connects us to Krishna is our service. And whatever service we do, it's important that we do it wholeheartedly. We give it our 100% of our consciousness in doing that seva. If we do it haphazardly, if we don't do it with full utsahan or enthusiasm, then we won't get the fruits of our Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada has created this wonderful ISKCON that there are many, many different types of sevas that we can do for Krishna. We also have a certain inclination what we can do, but sometimes we might be told to do something that might be against what we want to do, or maybe we might do something that might not quite fit what we want to do. But if we surrender to that, then we make tremendous amount of sacrifice or advancement, excuse me. So what are some of the sevas which are there in ISKCON that we can do? So Brahma seva was creation. So what was some of the sevas that is there that we can do, which is there within Krishna consciousness? Harinam, yes. So Harinam, Chaito Dwapa Majanam, it is the life of all transcendental activities. It's actually the prime benediction of all humanity. So I was just reading about Vishnu Jan Swami. So Vishnu Jan Swami, he would perform Harinam 12 hours a day. So Harinam is very, very, very important. In the early days, devotees would always constantly go on Harinam. So Harinam is a seva that we can perform, and it benefits us and also benefits the other jivas. When Haridas Thakur was asked, how should we chant our rounds? What was the reply? Loudly, that's right. So that's right. So although sometimes we meditate and chant our rounds, sometimes we say it silently, sometimes we fall asleep when we chant our rounds, but Haridas Thakur, he said we should chant it loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I take that as a confirmation from the curtains opening. And the reason why it's chanted loudly, because, of course, it keeps us a little bit more attentive. And then also the other jivas around can also benefit from hearing the holy name. And that's what the Sankirtan movement is all about, benefiting others. So Harinam is one of the sevas that we can do. We have transcendental Harinam going out on Thursdays, Saturdays, and other times. What other seva is there? Everything, yes, that's right. Book distribution, giving out transcendental knowledge, that's also amazing, wonderful seva. When Srila Prabhupada, when he would get his results of the book distribution, it would also give him a lot of happiness, a lot of joy. It would give him strength. So Harinam, transcendental book distribution, making garlands, isn't it? Some of you ladies are engaged in making garlands. What do you think you're going to be doing in the spiritual world? Listening to Jai Krishna give class? Probably not. You'll be making garlands for Radha and Krishna. So that's also a wonderful seva. Pujari service. Srila Prabhupada was in Bari place, and Rancho Prabhu asked, what is the most amazing service devotees can do? And then Srila Prabhupada leaned back and he said, Pujari service. So the devotees was thinking maybe Prabhupada was going to say book distribution Harinam, but then he said Pujari service. So then Rancho asked again, why is it Pujari service? Then Srila Prabhupada explained the very activities what the Pujaris are doing is the very thing you're going to be doing in the spiritual world. What are the Pujaris doing? They wake up Krishna in the morning. What are the Pujaris doing? They're cooking for Krishna. What are the pujaris doing? They're massaging Krishna's transcendental body. What are the pujaris doing? Changing Krishna's outfit. So we wanted to do gardening. We wanted to do maybe cleaning the bathrooms. Those things will be done on its own accord. But we'll be directly engaging in that kind of a seva, doing service directly to the Lord. So pujari service is very, very important. And then there was a very nice class given by a devotee saying, whether you have inclination for pujari or not, it is important that we try and engage to do a little personal seva in the pujari department. Many, many years ago, no one was given Brahman initiation unless they agreed to do pujari service. Pujari service is very, very important because that's why you get your janoy, upanaya. It's there for preaching, obviously. Try and get the qualities of a Brahman, but that upanaya thread is to engage yourself. And if you can't do it directly here at the temple because the schedules are always so busy, everyone's fighting, then you can also do deity worship at home. Anything else? Any other seva? Yes? Prasadam distribution. Everyone likes a nice plate of prasadam. Who likes a nice plate of prasadam? It's almost breakfast time. So we all like prasadam. So giving prasadam is an incredible seva. And sometimes people don't understand philosophy. People don't always read the books. And sometimes people might not even appreciate Harinam. But everyone's going to appreciate a nice prasadam. There was one devotee, he was telling me that he was on a plane and then he was going in his saffron clothes, and then somebody was sitting next to him, and this lady was inquiring, what is it that you do? Then he was explaining to this lady that I'm a devotee, I'm a monk, I'm a Hare Krishna. And immediately she didn't like it. For some reason, she thought, oh, Hare Krishna's a bunch of weirdos. Then a devotee tried to explain a little bit and tried to give a book. The person wasn't interested in the book, said, no thanks. And then devotee then brought the ultimate weapon, a nice bag of samosas, and tried to offer some samosas to the person. But even the samosas had no effect. Imagine that, declining a nice samosa. So the devotee was a little bit disappointed. Then about half an hour went past, and then this lady started opening her bag and rustling her bag, and she pulled out one bar. And this bar was healthy, wealthy, and wise bar, love bite. And the devotee noticed it, and she opened and started eating it. And the devotee started laughing and chuckling. And then the lady was thinking, what's the matter with this guy? That love bite was made by the devotees. Haribol! So she tried to escape the katha. She tried to escape the book form. She tried to escape samosa. But she couldn't escape the love bite, which was made by the devotees. So in this way, distributing of prasadam is also a seva. Any other ways which are seva? So we go Harinam, book distribution, making garlands, deity worship. I did a little bit of gardening, didn't last very long. Yes? Sorry? Education, that's right. Teaching others. We have the Veda course, the Bhakti Shastri course, we got the Be a Monk challenge, is it? Where are they? Doing yoga? Maya. They should be here in bhakti yoga. Sharvanam is also important. Anyway, I leave it to you guys. So that's another seva. Education is very, very important. We have to know why we are doing these things for Krishna consciousness. Coming from a background of knowing a little bit about Krishna, knowing a little bit about the Vedic culture, none of us knew what we were doing it for. I remember my dad pulling my ear, get in the temple room right now. And of course, I didn't like doing that. And we would be there hours just in the temple room, Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Shivaya. But through the education of Srila Prabhupada's books, we understood why we had to do it. So education is very, very important. In fact, that's a fundamental reason why we can thrive and have a good foundation in Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Yes, Prayojana. That's right, listening to Srila Prabhupada's lectures. I think there's over 4,500 lectures, isn't it? Conversations. So we can't say there's not enough lectures. Shabda Brahman, transcendental vibration. Sometimes people say, well, you can't get Shabda Brahman through the tape recorder, you know. Shabda Brahman, transcendental, whether it's coming through the mouth or coming through the tape recorder. I mean, how are you listening to my talk? Is it coming through the mic or is it coming through my mouth? So in this way, whatever way, we can listen to Srila Prabhupada. And one last one, we can ask a few questions. Then dramas, oh God. Dramas. So one person, I don't want to blow my trumpet, one person saw the birth of Lord Krishna. I think your god brother, what's his name? He passed away now. Tatikshwa Karuna, the one who was living in Wales. He used to do the Rathiatras. Karuna something, I forget his name. Anyway, he told me personally, he came one Janmashtami and he saw the birth of Lord Krishna. I don't know, some of you might have seen it this Janmashtami. Anyone saw that drama? Yeah, so he saw that. And after seeing that, he had no idea, he joined the Hare Krishna temple. So no matter how big or small your service is, it is all transcendental. There's a wonderful pastime in the Ramayana about this. Seva, who knows this pastime? Prabhuji? The squirrel. Some people say squirrel, some people say spider. Squirrel because it's got the three marks of Ram on the back of the chipmunk in India. If you see in India, there's the three marks, and some people say spider. Hanuman was throwing big, big boulders, big seva, bam, bam, bole. Very, very proud. And the little squirrel or the spider, chipmunk, whatever it is in your Ramayana version, he was flicking a few sands. And then Hanuman was laughing, step aside, let the big boys do their work. Then Ram wasn't so happy. He saw this from the corner of eyes. He said, that one grain of rice is equivalent to the big boulder. So we shouldn't minimize another devotee's seva. Everything is transcendental. Krishna accepts everything. His Karuna Sindhu, he accepts all our seva. So in conclusion, Brahma gave up his transcendental body to do seva. Seva is what connects us to Krishna. And I believe we all want to connect to Krishna. Is that correct? Only Panchatattva wants to connect to Krishna. We all want to connect to Krishna. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. So we will end over here. Any questions, complaints, queries? It's a bit ill-prepared. All things are transcendental, that's right, you know. So sometimes if the temple commander, see, we don't even have a temple commander, but anyway, if he asks you to do something menial, you should be utsahan, ready to do it, eager to do it. Prabhuji? At the back, Taruna. I don't know what happened to the mic. Yeah, that's. I did try to do a little bit inquiry if there was like any kind of gross sex or such. So, I mean, of course, Brahma has got the amazing mystical power. He can just throw his kamandalu water and just create things. So, I couldn't get any proper references, but I'm assuming there was no kind of gross kind of activities needed. It just happened either by the mantras or the power of mystic powers and things like that. Unless Prabhuji, can you elaborate? Anyone knows? Anyone can elaborate a little bit more? I'm also going with Tarun. I don't think it was like a gross thing that was needed. And his body is said is made from fine intelligence, you know. His body is, even within the material realm, it doesn't have the gross elements like we do, earth, water, fire. His body is made from pure intelligence. So the creation, from my understanding, is it needs to populate the universe. So different species of life, such as animals, snakes, trees, human beings. It is explained that in different order he started creating all the inanimate things first, then all the lower species, then the human beings were the last he created. Now, that's all done through kind of mana, through mystic powers. It's not like, you know, he gave birth to a mosquito or anything. But yet, you know, interestingly enough, in the Vahara incarnation, the boar came out of Brahma's nostril. So you just never know. Yeah, I mean, Prabhuji, it's not 100%. There's so many different kinds of not proper clarifications of how things, I mean, my kind of understanding is very limited. I'm not that kind of Shastric or deep philosophical person. So maybe you might need to kind of reference with another senior person, Kartik Chandra or someone. Prabhuji? Yeah, so he empowered other beings, so that's the way Prabhuji explaining, is that correct? Yeah. Damodar Prabhu? Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, it could be because as we know from the previous kind of Leela, he was connected with kind of some immoral acts, so therefore that turned into that kind of fog. Excuse me? That's right, yeah. 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 Yeah, before he gave up this body, all these other kind of beings were already in existence. Kumaras were made from his mind. Shiva came from his mind. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sanat Kumaras, the four Kumaras. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anything else, Prabhu? Yeah, the mode of passion is what his creation is about. So that's why he is in that particular guna. Anything, ladies, you know, add to? Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Thank you for your time. Hare Krishna.